This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. John, it's always great to have you with us.
It's always great to be here, and what beautiful weather it is.
It's a gorgeous week here in the nation's capital, to be sure, and we're expecting some very nice weather in the days ahead as well. John, let's start with the president. Right now, he's over in Prague in the Czech Republic. He's already signed the latest version of the START treaty with the Russians, which some on the right are concerned about, that potentially Obama's giving away too much. What do you make, first of all, of the treaty? Some say it's basically a continuation of what's already been in the works.
Well, once again, we have been having nuclear disarmament treaties since the 1960s under the Kennedy administration. And while the number of nuclear warheads, missile silos, and bombers may have been held to a lower level than they would have been without the treaties, the fact is that the threat of nuclear war always exists when you have countries of hostile intentions. It should be that just as Barack Obama is under fire from conservatives for possibly giving away too much, Dmitry Medvedev and Prime Minister Vladimir Putin in Russia are also getting criticism that they've made too many concessions and that the U.S. would be allowed to rearm and rebuild its nuclear musketry in a shorter period of time. It's interesting to note, according to published reports, that neither President Medvedev nor Prime Minister Putin have uttered a word about it in public. And like the president, the Russians have to get this treaty ratified, in this case by their Duma, their parliament. I think they'll have an easier time than Barack Obama getting two-thirds of the required votes.
Real quickly, as a follow-up, the president also outlined a new nuclear policy this week, John, including no nuclear testing, no additional nuclear weapons, won't fire upon non-nuclear nations so long as they're abiding by the non-proliferation treaty. Again, you have a divergence of opinion. Those on the left think it doesn't go far enough. Those on the right say he's basically building down our national security when you factor in what he's already done on missile defense and some other things. Who's right?
Well, time will tell on something like that. We never know who's right, and we're always thankful that we have never yet reached the specter that was prophesied in books such as Failsafe or On the Beach, that of nuclear holocaust. It is also true that Barack Obama may have enhanced criticism on the right when he scrapped the administration's proposed missile defense system in Eastern Europe. But again, the jury has got to stay out, but always watching on this.
We're talking with John Gizzi of Human Events. John, another major issue, again, on the international stage, and that's Hamid Karzai making some strange statements, tough conversations with Hillary Clinton and some other U.S. figures, also reportedly saying, now he's got a spokesman denying that he said it, that he might join the Taliban, join forces with the Taliban, because the U.S. is making too many demands. What's the state of the relationship right now?
I have to say that it's very tense. It reminds me very eerily of the way it was between the Kennedy administration and South Vietnamese President Diem in 1963, before the deaths of both presidents, and that's a very tense situation, very uncomfortable look. Robert Gibbs, the president's spokesman, tells us all the time that they will work with President Karzai, and when asked if the administration supports him, he usually says words to the effect that he is the elected president of Afghanistan. But certainly these war of words and these quotations don't make things comfortable, and a tense relationship was made even more tense by the questionable re-election of President Karzai and by the latest war of words.
Well, plenty of potential political shenanigans in Afghanistan, a lot of political fodder back here at home this week as well. John, we'll go through it quickly. First of all, RNC Chairman Michael Steele under more pressure to resign. Obviously, there had been the allegations of profligate spending weeks ago, and now, of course, the latest issue about this young staffer who was out at the Bondage Club in Los Angeles and so forth. What's the fallout for Steele? Does he survive or no?
He survives. I've talked to people who are close to the chairman at the RNC, and they all point out that the resignations around him, notably that of New Hampshire Republican National Committee man Sean Mahoney, are not going to affect someone who's been elected for a two-year term and already has three notches in his belt, the governorships of Virginia and New Jersey and the U.S. Senate seat in, yes, of all places, Massachusetts. In addition, Michael Steele's a charismatic fellow, a very visible chairman that Republican contributors like to see. The Wall Street Journal reported just yesterday that in March, the RNC was light years ahead of where it was in fundraising this time 2 years ago, and in fact, more than a year ago. I say that Steele stays, and these charges, it is never added something very important that no one is alleging he has broken any law.
Michael Steele, of course, is officially the head of the party, but as we get closer to 2012, there will be other faces trying to emerge and grab that status. John, just on Wednesday, we saw a major Tea Party-type rally in Minnesota drawing approximately 10,000 people, according to some estimates, featuring Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann, two darlings of the Tea Party, but are either one of them likely to be at the top of the heap come the nomination fight 2 years from now?
No, they're not, and they serve another role, those of fighting ladies, people who are under fire constantly from the liberal media and within their own party, yet maintain a following that draws media attention and money and bodies wherever they go. I note that you mentioned they were in Minnesota, Michelle Bachmann's home state. That's the home of Hubert Humphrey, Eugene McCarthy, and Paul Wellstone, all hero figures on the left. Michelle Bachmann has won 2 terms in the House. With Sarah Palin at her side, she drew several thousand at an outdoor rally, and in the evening will be at a dinner featuring the former vice presidential candidate, at which $10,000 per plate is being charged. Again, that is pretty impressive coming in the land of Humphrey and Wellstone.
Two quick hitters before we let you go, John. Number one, one of the longest-serving Supreme Court justices in history, John Paul Stevens, who will turn 90 later this month, giving more clues that he's likely to retire probably this year, certainly by next year, that he wants President Obama to name his successor. What kind of confirmation fight do you suspect could be on the horizon?
Well, it could be a repeat of that surrounding Justice Sotomayor. But on the other hand, conservatives console themselves by noting that whomever Obama nominates, he or she will not be that different from Justice Stevens, whom the New York Times called the leader of the liberal wing on the Supreme Court. Again, I know about all of the speculation. I read one of the rare interviews with Justice Stevens, who's also the last World War II veteran to serve on the Supreme Court. And what he always says is when people try to pin him down on a retirement date, that he isn't sure what he would do, and he'd have to check with his brother, who's managing partner of a law firm in Florida. That is, his older brother.
John, very quickly, you're always game for political predictions, and we'll get an official prediction as we get closer. But we learned this week that there will be parliamentary elections in Britain on May 6th. If you had to put the money down right now, well, which party will be in control come May 7th?
My feeling is that when Britain has record-high deficits, and the entire eurozone is on very, very testy waters financially, and after 13 years of the Labour Party in power, the Tories will win, and the new Prime Minister will be 43-year-old David Cameron.
We'll be following. John, thanks as always for your time.
Looking forward to elections abroad and elections at home, as well as changes on the Supreme Court and elsewhere. I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.